can't shake the dream. The fire is starting to burn and grab battle with gas to give you room to breathe through inadequate mask. Everybody in front, let me see you pumping your fist. If you up in the back room and you rocking with this, come on, keeping your speaker knocking, jumping, banging, bumping, blazing hot, calling all freaks. No.
And welcome to the Poor Impulse Control Podcast. I, of course, am Damian Cross.
And I'm Misty Miller.
And, wow, I gotta send out a word of thanks to my buddy Jeff, who contacted me through text. Apparently, he's been listening to the show. And there's another guy I know who listened to the show and was like, dude, what's that irritating buzz? There's this buzz in the background. And I was like, I don't know, you know. So I figured maybe it was the splitters I was using or something of that nature. As it turns out, not the case. Jeff actually pointed out, he asks me, do you have any CFL bulbs in the house? And I'm like, what a weird question. And I'm like, why? And he says, because the buzz sound may be that bulb. And if you have a bulb anywhere near your stuff, yeah, it's going to cause that buzz. So I do have a desk lamp. It does have one of those little spiral swirly CFL bulbs in it. That I got one because, quite frankly, it's a better bulb in my opinion. It lasts a lot longer, and it does like a, I guess it's called an energy saver bulb. Maybe if it's not, maybe you can like I don't know. Tell me I'm wrong or something like that. But anyway, I got that bulb just because it lasts longer. And, of course, that's the problem. That's what was causing that irritating buzz. So hopefully by now we've gotten rid of it. And thanks, Jeff. I appreciate the looking out. I really do. That was very cool. So if that solved the problem, Jeff, it was all because of you, man. So what the hell have you been up to?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, man. Not a whole lot. Been tweeting a lot. Today's a goof-off day.
Yeah, I noticed you kind of moved your days. You're not really doing anything today.
No, I'm not. I'm getting a little less OCD about things.
Well, you know what? You might want to move your mic down a little bit. Because, yeah, there you go.
How's that? Better?
Oh, much better, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're coming in a lot better now.
Yeah, I'm a little less OCD about things than I used to be. And I figured, you know, the only reason I did laundry 3 days a week was because I wanted to fill up the time. Because I was afraid that if I didn't have anything to do, I would go crazy.
Well, that was, just to give our listeners a recap, both Misty's parents had been diagnosed with cancer, two different types of cancer, but both of them diagnosed around about the time I came up here back in 2008 on vacation just to see what the place was like.
Around the same time they were diagnosed.
Yeah, around the same time. And we ended up not doing anything. Like, I know I told you guys, oh, when I move, you know, I'll get a job and then we'll do the radio thing again. The reason we didn't do it for so long was because we were actually taking care of them. We spent most of our days, when I wasn't at work, I was actually over at their house. Hanging with mom, hanging with dad, driving dad around to his various appointments. So we filled up a lot of time doing that.
Yeah. And then when they passed on, you know, not only did I go crazy, but, I mean, literally I went crazy.
Well, you kept the same exact schedule.
Because I needed it. Because I needed that regularity in my life. I needed that predictability in my life at the time because everything had just been so catastrophic for me.
Well, I imagine it was catastrophic for everyone, really.
Well, yeah, it was catastrophic for everybody in my family, and we all had our ways of dealing. My youngest brother went to the shore a lot. My sister put in extra hours at work. My oldest brother went incognito and rarely texts us even today.
Hey, you know, I really haven't seen him much.
Yeah,
lately.
I know. He hasn't had a vacation.
It is good to see him when he comes over.
Yeah, it is, even though he thinks he's right all the time.
Well, you know, even then, I still I enjoy talking to the guy. I mean, the guy is to me the guy. Now, for those of you who don't know, Misty, one of Misty's brothers is a full on like doctor, and I love talking to this guy. He does have that sort of like pompous air about him, the sort of arrogant. I'm always right. But he really is very fascinating to talk to. He could put a lot of that stuff that I don't understand into he could put it in ways that I do understand, and he really is very fascinating to speak to.
And he knows a lot about a lot of different things.
Yeah, it's not that he's an insufferable know-it-all. It's not that at all. That's why I love talking to the guy. I love hanging with him.
Yeah.
Your sister's husband, the one that we go over to his house all the time playing Magic the Gathering.
Yes.
He's a lot of fun to talk to.
Yes, he is.
He's fun. The whole family
is fun. He'll
talk
your ear off.
He will. What's really funny, though, is I just gotten a new camera recently, a Canon. I'm pulling it out, and I'm playing around with it, taking pictures of the dogs. I'm taking little videos. Let me tell you what this guy does. He pulls out a digital SLR he got for Christmas. I don't think he did it to be like, I'm better than you. It was just a really cool camera. He's showing me, he's showing it off, and I'm thinking, my God, I really wish my camera could do these things. I mean, I love my little point and shoot, and I realize, you know, as cool as a digital SLR would be, it's just way too big, way too bulky for me, and you know, while it takes a really awesome picture, I just don't think I would need something that, you know, that's a little bit too much camera for me, I think.
Yeah, your point and shoot suits you just fine because you're not like a professional photographer.
Yeah.
Like my other brother-in-law.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen his body of work?
I've seen some of it. And let me tell you, the pictures this guy takes of, he took pictures of the Grand Canyon, was it?
He took pictures of the Grand Canyon, he took pictures of landscapes, of lighthouses. Just
fucking dope. I mean, absolutely breathtaking pictures.
I mean, they look like Norman Rockwell photos.
Well, Norman Rockwell did paintings.
I understand that, but they look like...
Like Norman Rockwell
would have painted it.
If, yeah, I mean, the color vibrancy is very nice, the images are extremely sharp. And I say this, now I know I tend to harp on Apple quite a bit for their rather wanton control over their product, even after you buy it, but he's a hardcore Apple user.
Oh, God, Apple everything.
Apple computer, everything, yeah.
Apple iPhone,
mm-hmm.
Apple camera.
Mm-hmm. The only thing he doesn't have is an iPad yet.
He has an iPad.
Oh, well, there we go. But this guy, he knows how to touch up a photo that he might have messed up or something like that. And, I mean, just these pictures are just absolutely astonishing. I really like, if he would let us, I'd totally let him put a link, you know, to his site on our page. I think it would be awesome, which you can access at poorimpulsecontrol.co.nr. And
is that what it is, .co.nr?
Yeah, it's poorimpulsecontrol.co.nr.
What I've been doing on Twitter is I've been plugging the Podomatic page and the Poor Impulse Control Twitter.
Okay. Well, I mean, that works. I've seen you do it, too, because it's, you know, every time I look in the email, it's, Misty Miller mentioned you on Twitter. And I'm like, oh, great, okay. I haven't been on Twitter lately. I just haven't really been fucking around with it. I haven't even been on our Facebook page lately, so I don't know how many followers we have. But I know I can probably still count them on one hand. Not that that's a big problem. It's just, you know, I really would like it to get out there a little more. But anyway, I mean, a lot of your family are very, very, very smart people.
You, smart, talented.
Yeah.
Kind of makes me feel like I'm treading water in the middle of the ocean.
Nah.
I mean, ever since I joined choir, that was another big thing. I used to be a member of a chorus, and then I dropped out in 2002. And last fall, I rejoined because I had to do something to reconnect with the world. And since I love to sing... I figured this was a great opportunity for me to get back with people and to do something that I loved. And my brother's also a member, so we sit together and we sing the same part. I'm a tenor. I sing a guy's part.
And well,
insert
joke
here.
You guys go to
nursing homes to perform.
Yeah, you go to nursing homes to perform. You've got a banquet coming up.
Yes, we do.
And then you guys go to karaoke a lot. I don't go.
Me and
mainly,
my brother go to karaoke every other Tuesday.
I don't go because I typically work Tuesdays. But on top of that, let me explain why. Even if I don't work on a Tuesday, I just don't go. The reason I don't go is because, let's face it, even though there are people there that can actually sing and can sing those parts, there are people that have no business being on a fucking microphone.
And, you know, we have encountered some of that there.
Yeah.
Although the majority of people at this particular karaoke, they can sing.
Yeah.
They put me to shame, and you know I can sing.
Yeah, I know you can sing. But, like, it's just painful for me to sit there and listen to someone. I mean, me, I know I can't sing. I know I can't. I tried doing Puddle of Mud, She Fucking Hates Me one time at a bar, and I was like, thank God there are only two people here.
And that I have that recording of you doing the Johnny Cash song.
Oh, God. Oh, I was so drunk when I did that. That was so bad.
No, it wasn't that bad. You stayed on key.
Oh, well, you know, it's because I really didn't have a... there's not a wide vocal range to go through.
Well, it's Johnny Cash.
What the fuck's that supposed to mean, man? What the fuck, dude? It's Johnny Cash.
Sorry, Johnny. There's not much of a vocal range to his songs.
Well, no. But that's the other thing. I have no vocal range. I have a voice that can make Marley Matlin flinch. I mean, it's terrible. I have a voice unfit for the deaf.
There was the time you called me up and you serenaded me with that Def Leppard song. That was so romantic!
Ugh. I cannot believe...
Here I go embarrassing him now.
Oh. Chris, I'm glad this never came up on the Genocidal Empire. Just glad this never came up.
Well, that's because on the Genocidal Empire, for the most part, at least in the beginning, we kept our relationship a secret.
Well, we kept our relationship almost out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, just completely, almost completely out of it. This one, we just don't. But anyway.
Because we're married and we live together. I mean, people are going to draw their own conclusions anyway.
Pretty much, yeah. Anyway, lately, I've been getting a little OCD myself, a little bit. That's because.
Oh, so now you understand me.
No, it's not that something has to be a certain way. Okay, I started reading the Hunger Games trilogy about a week and a half ago. I just finished it like yesterday. It wasn't. Oh, this has to be a certain way. That has to be a certain way. Oh, my God, my keys are just all wrong on my desk. It was, I have got to find out what the fuck happens next. And it was a real page-turner. It just, it picked me up. The first one was done, I felt like, oh, shit, I've been through a damn war.
And I have yet to read them.
And then I started with Catching Fire, and Catching Fire, by the end of it, does not let you down. It doesn't let you down. It keeps you going, and you're like, oh, I gotta get to Mockingjay next. And I read that, and I gotta say this. Katniss Everdeen is the main character. For those who haven't read it, I'm not going into any spoilers. I'm just gonna kind of like give you a brief synopsis of the first book. Katniss Everdeen is probably about 15 years old. She is literally a teenage girl. Her and a friend of hers remember what it was like before the districts, because she lives in District 12. Basically, America, North America, has been destroyed. Literally, the entire order just came fucking crashing down. It was natural disasters, it was wars, it was attacks, it was all this shit that just happened. And all of North America basically wiped off the planet, with some exception. So the rest of the country kind of like moved in a little more toward the middle, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they restructured it. So now you have a capital and 12 districts. And these districts, the capital and these 12 districts are now called Panem. And in Panem, each district has its part. So like District 1 is, or Districts 1 and 2 are really chummy with the capital. District 3 might do, say, steel production or ore mining or something of that nature. District 4 does forestry, so on and so forth. District 12 obviously did coal. I can't remember what else, but anyway, District 13, they did graphite, and if I'm not mistaken, nuclear technology. And there was a period called the Dark Days of Panem, where the districts pulled an uprising and were literally just stomped right back down by the capital, and District 13 was destroyed. Now, what happens from there is that there was a treaty that happened, and what they did was basically, since all these districts had been so treasonous, the capital started something called the Hunger Games, which featured every year they do a drawing. It's called the Reaping. And in the Reaping, at the age of 14, I want to say, or no, 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 12, at the age of 12, your name gets entered for the first time. From 12 to 18 is when your name gets entered. And it's a cumulative enter. So it's not one name, your name isn't entered onto a slip of paper in the Reaping Balls once for all 6 years. It's entered once for each year. And then if you enter it several more times, you can curry a little favor, get some more food or whatever. But anyway, it's usually the Reaping happens, and one boy and one girl from each district are picked as tributes. These tributes are then sent to the capital, where an arena is constructed, and they are literally made to fight to the death. This is televised all over Panem. Like, each one goes to the training center, each one of the tributes is scored, and then from there they go and they fight it out to the death. There's only one victor. The victor, their district gets like a year where food is delivered every month. It's more than what they've got. So a lot of districts are starving. A lot of districts are just really in dire, dire straits. And, basically the victor gets to live in a victor's village. They never get picked again, but it doesn't exempt their children. And in the story, the previews for the movies on TV show you this. Katniss Everdeen is not picked. It is her sister Prim who is picked. Her sister just turned 12, but she takes Prim's place as a tribute to save her sister. And literally from there, she's now in a fight to the death to try to get back home to her family. It's pretty crazy. But I gotta say this, that from her and her friend Gail are always slipping out of District 12, going into the forest, which is an offense. This is punishable by death during these times. They go out hunting, and then they sell what they catch. And of course, they try to they're trying to provide for their family.
Wow.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to live in a world, post-democracy like that.
I'm gonna tell you right now, it's it really is a good story. I'm going to tell you right now, these are dark, dark, dark times. I mean, they're terrible. But I picked up all three books was a few friends recommended I read them, and I was like, I don't know. But I picked up all three for like less than $20 on the Sony e-reader store. I put them on the Sony e-reader. Later, a friend of mine sent them to me for Kindle, so I was able to put them on my Kindle, and I gave you the Sony reader.
The Sony reader.
Yeah. You've got to read these books. You will absolutely love them. I read the first chapter here, and I'm talking to some friends about it, and I'm like, I said, I don't know why. I said, I knew this was coming. They foreshadowed it, I don't know how many ways, Suzanne Collins did, but the end of chapter one was still a shock to me. And then I actually read some more, and, you know, they do kind of bring you up, and they give you a feel of what these people are like. I got about 18 chapters through Catching Fire before I switched the means of reading it. You need to read it because I've already got it planned. We are going to literally do 3 podcasts on the Hunger Games alone. So if any of you guys have not read it, you need to. Because if you don't, we're going to have a bunch of spoilers. We're going to give parts away. I'm telling you, you better get on. You better get on now. Because I know her appetite for reading could get as voracious as my own. So I'm telling you right now, this is a great series of books. Suzanne Collins really outdid herself. You won't be disappointed. You can get these books very, very cheap. I mean, $20 usually gets you like a hardcover in an actual bookstore. Guys, I'll tell you what, the whole thing could cost you about, like, after the bundles and whatnot, $140 will get you a brand spanking new Kindle with a cover and a light, and you can probably even get a good year's warranty out of it through a store. Go out and spend the $140. Go spend like $20 more. Go get those books and just read them, because these are awesome. And I must say this right now, Katniss Everdeen, one of my favorite, absolute favorite resistance figure type heroes. I'm pretty sure it's heroine. Whatever. But still, in my opinion, one of the best ever. And by the end of Mockingjay, I just wanted to give her the biggest hug I could possibly give her. Because, I mean, she really does go through hell. I mean, they put her through the ringer. And just a great, great character. A very strong character at that. So I think you would really enjoy it. But definitely check it out. I've been stuck on that. Now that I'm done, I said, I'm probably going to go to something a little bit lighter. Like Uncle John's bathroom reader.
I got something for you.
What?
Well, this doesn't have anything to do with books, but this does have to do with food.
Food, okay.
Okay, now I came across this in my travels on the internet looking for weird news, because, you know, that's my specialty.
Okay,
what exactly is hand-shredded ass meat? A new dictionary for Chinese restaurants.
Stop! Stop! You. Stop! What?
It says, what exactly is hand-shredded ass meat?
Jesus Christ.
A new dictionary for Chinese restaurants may tell you. Here we go. By Bo Zhu, NBC News, Beijing. Overseas tourists often find the menus here befuddling for good reason. After all, what Westerner has experience with foods like these? Cowboy leg, hand-shredded ass meat, red-burned lion head, strange flavor noodles, blow-up flatfish with no result, or tofu made by a woman with freckles.
Oh my God, it's English! English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Yes, ask me. What? As proud as the Chinese people are of their thousands of years of gastronomic culture, even a Chinese native can feel disoriented when going to another province with all the different styles of cooking. Many of the food names, often unique to different provinces, get lost in translation.
No shit.
especially in booming cities starting to embrace overseas tourists. With few English speakers, restaurants usually translate their menus word by word directly from an English-Chinese dictionary.
Oh my god.
Where they just Google the Chinese characters. A photo that made the rounds online a few years ago got a chuckle from a lot of people. A restaurant with a large page not found sign above its door as its English name. Oh, I'm not done yet.
Oh, no.
Imagine walking up to a restaurant. This is page not found.
Well, and that's why I started laughing.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. But the Beijing municipal government hopes to end such unintended jokes with its new guidebook intended for the public and restaurants alike. Enjoy Culinary Delights, the English translation of Chinese menus. The effort began in 2006 with a Beijing Speaks English campaign. By the 2008 Summer Olympics, officials had created a draft guide with translations for major restaurants to meet the demand for arriving athletes and tourists. After 2008, we felt like the book was in a good demand, so we kept working on it and collected more menus. Finally, we translated over 2,000 Chinese dish names, said Zhang Ping, deputy chief of Beijing Speaks English Committee, in an interview with NBC News.
Said bad commander file name.
Yeah. Some... Some of the dishes kept their original names, which people familiar with Chinese food may understand. Jiazi, Biazi, Mantou, Tofu, or Wonton. Some more complicated dishes come with both Chinese pronunciations and explanation. I can't pronounce this. Fo Tio Quang. Steamed abalone with shark's fin and fish maw and broth.
I think... There were some other ones. And this is why we in America have a site called EnglishFunny.com. Like, what is it? There was Wong Fu King Bookstore.
Yeah.
Which, if you say that really fast, Wong Fu King Bookstore. There was... The way English came about was the people in China and these Asian countries would have to take American movies, like, say, Star Wars, for example, The Empire Strikes Back. We'll go with that one. The scene where Darth Vader explains to Luke that he's his father, and he's like, look inside you, you know it to be true. And of course... Luke screams, no, you know.
And it says, do not want.
It's because they have translated it into Chinese, realizing that they have American audiences. They have retranslated it back into what we now know as the wrong English translation altogether, which we call English.
And so no was translated into do not want.
Or yes is all of my want. And there is so much profanity in this stuff. I mean, it's absolutely hysterical. Let me pull up the website. I could give you a few examples. Let's see.
Oh no, I have some.
Oh, go ahead.
Let me open up a new let me find it.
Well, here we go. This is a picture of a toy, which is a Navy fighter jet, and the name of it, it's supposed to be Abraham Lincoln, but it says Abraham Limkoka. Don't know what that is.
All right, I got it. Do you want me to read mine? Or?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, episode 3, The Backstroke of the West.
Here's one. This is a shop. Apparently, it's like a Kinko's of sorts. But it says the numerical code flushes India. Burger King, Donor King, the Bulgarian Whopper. here we go. This is This is a translation from, this looks like it could be Swedish or Scandinavian. But the translation is, you are obliged to keep common rooms tidy and clean. Anybody won't tidy rubbish and bottles as a remains after your lusty celebrations. In case of repeatedly breaking discipline, you may be expelled from college.
I like this one, where Obi-Wan says, let them pass between us. Our dichotomy opens the combat.
Here we go. Ramen soup. We've seen those ramen soup packages before. But here we go. Instant ramen soup for sluts. Or this one. For restrooms, go back toward your behind.
Oh, I got one.
Hey, here it is. Hand shredded ass meat. I'm looking at hand shredded ass meat. Enjoy culinary delights, the English translation of Chinese menus. Okay, this is the book.
This is the article that I was reading.
Yeah, okay. Beijing Speaks English Initiative, yeah.
Anonymous Doom fighter pilot, they're all over me. He is in my behind.
Oh, my God. Hey, here you go. Okay, the can specifically says Van Camp's pork and beans. Okay, we've seen those cans before.
Yes.
Matter of fact, I'm tempted to go get a can because I really want some pork and beans. I love pork and beans. Van Camp's porn and beans, 15-ounce can, 2 for $7. Let's see. A translation, Juarez, I'm neck, J-O-L, why are you going fast at the time, the A-O-A-O?
Say what?
This is on Facebook, to which there's a reply, a comment, if you will. It is hard to live, eat those? Translated by Bing. There's your problem.
Oh my God.
Let's see. Here we go. Running, it never runs from us away, but truly keeps his first, last, everlasting day. Whatever the fuck that means. Oh, here's a fortune from a fortune cookie. Be patient. The Great Wall didn't got built in one day.
I like this one. R2, do you is fucking?
Oh.
This is Star Wars, for God's sake!
Oh, man. here you go. These are stickers or door signs or something. From far distance, you look like a rainbow. From near, you look like a big potato. You're strong like Rambo. Look like hero, but your brain just like potato.
Okay, that actually makes sense.
Okay, your problem, beer can make a temporary solution. Cheers. Are you crazy or your pant too tight? Bitter monster right behind me. Don't call police, just inform my wife.
What?
Sorry, I'm busy. Beer monster invite me to party every night. Very good, Rondai. Well, here's one. You are here. No shit. It's literally a sign, like you're about to enter like a corridor of sorts, and it says it has these things that says you are here. Okay, whatever, fine. Mal's fried chicken. I'm not kidding you. I'm looking at the door sign here. Das ist offensive. Kraut Enterprises, security and communications. Oh shit.
There's some funny stuff here. You too careful. He is a big what?
Oh, here we go. They have, now check the names of these sandwiches. Sand poulet, sand steak, sand broquette, ass chicken chica, ass steak, frites, not fries, frites.
Frites.
All easy loud available here. Handsome is that handsome dose. Whatever the fuck that meant.
He big and nothing, important and good elephant. Sure, I remember that in Star Wars.
Here's a place called WTF. Right below it, wow, tasty food. Horse delivery, okay, I'm sold. And they, yeah, for horse delivery, call.
For horse delivery?
That's right. For horse delivery. Here you go. Flagrant system error. Computer over. Virus equals very yes.
Okay.
It's a blue screen with those letters on it.
I totally understand it.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Here you go. Now, this is for a camera. How would you guys like a Pentax Optio M60 Compact Digital? The M60 is the latest model in Pentax Optio M series following, featuring 10 megapixels and a metal exterior that gives it a sense of sophistication. Powered by lithium-ion batteries, you'll always be ready for a shit. You were almost there! Okay, roast pork boy toy or beef with bok toy?
Oh, yeah, I'll have the roast pork boy toy, please. With the boy toy on the side.
Holy shit. Oh, my God, no. Oh, my God.
Remember, that is the phrase of the week. Hand-shredded ass meat.
So here you go. We have a bottle of what is clearly supposed to be Jack Daniels. But it reads John's Daphne. And where it's supposed to say Tennessee Sour Mash Whiskey, it says Tenderness Sour Mash Whiskey. Oh my God.
Sounds like you found better ones than I did.
Well, I went to English Funny. Or English Funny, I'm sorry. We'll see if there's anything else. We'll move on to the next topic, I think.
Well, I wasn't done reading the article, actually.
Oh, really?
No, I wasn't done. That's what I'm...
Okay. Well, thank you. Have nice day.
Say what?
Supposed to mean have a nice day. No fouling of public areas by dog sauces.
What?
Never mind. Just read your fucking story.
Some more complicated dishes come with both Chinese pronunciations and explanations. I can't pronounce this. Steamed abalone with shark's fin and fish mountain broth. Deep fried dough sticks. Dagooner. Glutinous rice rolls stuffed with red bean paste. And Iowowo, steamed rice cakes with sweet stuffing. Shen Lin, a 90-year-old retired English professor from Beijing Foreign Language University, was the chief consultant for the book.
he told
NBC News.
Like, oh my God, we need your help. Why? Because they don't know how to speak English. Oh, shit.
Like English teachers and professors, translators, expats who have lived in China for a long time, culinary experts and people from the media helped develop the final version. So next time you're in Beijing and you are confronted with a menu item like hand-shredded ass meat, hopefully you could crack open the book to get some guidance. It means hand-shredded donkey meat.
Oh, I'm a hand-shredded ass burger. I would still order it. I'm the jerk off that would still order it, just because it's too funny to pass up.
It's too good to pass up.
It is. It's entirely too funny. I mean, God,
hand shredded ass meat.
So, all right, well, let's move on to the next thing, because yeah, obviously,
absolutely.
You know.
We spent some good quality time.
You know, we haven't even bothered mentioning wrestling. It's because there's barely anything worth mentioning, really, except for maybe the CM Punk versus Chris Jericho Chicago street fight, which, you know, I'm not crazy about the hype because it seems like the same build up to WrestleMania.
That's going to take place at Extreme Rules.
People. Yep. So I really don't have a whole hell of a lot to talk about when it comes to wrestling.
No, not this time, because we're sort of in a lull.
We're right after WrestleMania, which kind of, like, exhausted. It's like reading the Hunger Games trilogy. You read that, and you're like, dude, there is no WrestleMania. Doesn't matter, dude. We're all going to die. You know?
Gee, nice outlook.
We're all going to die. Fuck it. What was the point? But, no, it really is good. Guys, read this series. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. Like, The first book, it would have been great. It would have been okay with me if Suzanne Collins had just left it at the first book. But then she wrote Catching Fire, and it went from it was like Star Wars. This is like the original Star Wars trilogy. You would have been okay with the first movie because evil's been defeated, right?
Right.
In fact, if all you had ever seen was the very first movie, Episode 4, New Hope, if that's the only one you had ever seen, you'd have been perfectly happy with the ending. You'd have been perfectly fine with how it ended. Vader and Luke don't know each other. You know, all this other good stuff. None of the little inside comments make any sense. And then when you go, it literally, she wrote them just like these three movies, because the second book, you know, spoiler, ends in a cliffhanger, that's all I'll say, and then moves right into Mockingjay, which, you know, of course, Empire moved right into Jedi. So, I mean, it's a really good series. I think you're going to enjoy it.
You know what we didn't talk about last week when we did our WrestleMania podcast is we didn't talk about the Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame induction, yeah. Edge was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Something that I think is very relevant and appropriate.
This guy ended up being forced to retire due to complications from a previous neck injury. His C1 and C2 vertebrae are fused together, are they not?
Fused together, yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure I had the right two vertebrae. Anyway, he had to vacate his title and then retire. But he retained at WrestleMania 27. It was his last WrestleMania.
Yeah, he retained it from Kane.
I thought it was Alberto Del Jackass.
No, Alberto Del Jackass became the number one contender after Edge vacated the belt.
Oh. You sure he went up against Kane in that last WrestleMania?
I'm absolutely positive.
Really?
Yeah, because Kane had won the Money in the Bank.
But, something about this. Hang on.
Now, the thing that I have a problem with is Mike Tyson being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And the fact that Macho Man, Randy Savage. I was going to say Ricky Savage.
Nope, yeah. Randy. It's Randy, man.
Was not inducted when he clearly should have been.
Let's see.
So I feel that Mike Tyson hasn't contributed, you know, much to the whole of the WWE, even though a lot of other people feel like he did. Good old Iron Mike Tyson. It's like, yeah, okay, he was inducted. Who the hell cares? Inducted into the celebrity wing. Let's put it that way, because that's how they put it.
Well, that they do that every year.
Yeah, I can think of a lot of different people who'd be more appropriate for that. Cyndi Lauper needs to be in there. And she's not.
All right, so let me have a look here. Let You know what? Wikipedia. Duh. There we go. Okay. Okay, here we go. At least I know his real name, so I can look him up very quickly. Let's see.
Adam Copeland.
Yep. Okay, how about...
How about WrestleMania 27?
That's what I'm looking at here. Cervical spinal stenosis.
What's that?
Leading up to his announcement, he had reflected upon his previous neck injury where the cervical vertebrae had been fused. He mentioned feeling numbness in his arms and losing feeling, and this was diagnosed as cervical spinal stenosis. This is why he had to retire. He defended his title at the Elimination Chamber. WrestleMania 27, his last WWE in-ring match, Edge successfully defended the world title against Alberto Del Rio in the opening match.
Oh, it was Alberto Del Rio?
Yeah, it was Alberto Del Jackass, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, this was why. That's why he retired, was because of cervical spinal stenosis. It's pretty much over for him. He can't do it anymore.
I love how we just call him Alberto Del Jackass and just, you know, go right over that.
Here's some of the other stuff Edge has done. In 2000, he made a cameo appearance in the fantasy movie Highlander Endgame, credited as a road bandit. During the appearance, Adrian Paul remarks, "Looks like you've lost your edge, lad," after defeating him in a sword fight.
tongue in cheek.
Oh, here we go. On March 2002, he, alongside other WWE superstars, appeared on the quiz show The Weakest Link. He was voted out in the first round.
Poor guy.
And the eventual winner was Kane.
What? Oh, you know what? I believe it because of how smart he is.
Yeah, out of the ring.
Glenn Jacobs is.
Very, very. On the August 6, 2006 episode, Mind of Mencia, he appeared as Edge as a commentator for the Royal Religious Rumble. He punched out an actor playing L. Ron Hubbard to stop Scientology from ruling the world and then speared another actor playing Tom Cruise.
You know what? That I would love to see.
In March 2007, he, alongside Randy Orton, John Cena, Bobby Lashley, appeared on Deal or No Deal. Weeks later, he appeared on the sketch comedy show Mad TV. He appeared in a Slim Jim commercial where his spicy side causes chaos in a DMV, a restaurant, and a hotel.
And then there was the Slim Jim commercial with the kids turning into ninjas.
Right. He also appeared on the sci-fi series Sanctuary in the season 3 finale episode Into the Black as Thilo in Abnormal. He plays Dwight Hendrickson in the series Haven. Good series, too. I like it. And, of course, he's also in the movie Bending the Rules alongside Jamie Kennedy. And then there's a documentary movie, You Think You Know Me, The Story of Edge, which we'll take a look into his life and career in pro wrestling, released April 3rd of this year. So, yeah.
Well, there was also Edge Decade of Decadence.
Yes, there was also that. Oh, dude! He's a fucking Devils fan.
Really?
He's a fucking Devils fan. I would love to get that guy to sign my Devils ball cap. Wow. Guess who he married?
Who?
Val Venus's sister.
I didn't know he was married.
Yeah, He's been married twice. And his second marriage was to another woman. over here, but they soon divorced. Like, literally, almost a year later, they divorced. Oh, he lives in Asheville, North Carolina, right near Hallie.
How about that?
Yeah. Nice.
Huh? I thought he lived in Canada.
Here we go. His autobiography, entitled Adam Copeland on Edge, was published in November 4th, 2004. I remember seeing the dust cover of this book, and it was pretty cool. Unlike most wrestlers who used ghostwriters to write their autobiographies, Copeland wrote the entire book himself in longhand. Mick Foley wrote the foreword to his book.
Now, that was nice of him. You know, Edge is one of my favorites. I need an Edge action figure. That's what I need.
He actually was the self-proclaimed Guns N' Roses of wrestling. Adam, Axel's a flake, dude.
Yeah, you don't want to be Axel. You can be Slash.
Yeah, totally. You want to be the Velvet Revolver.
Yeah.
Okay, by the way, Copeland, that's not Damon, that's Affleck. Okay, bad joke.
Affleck!
Ben Affleck.
I know. I just felt like being the duck and saying that.
Well, so that's all the wrestling we're going to talk about, at least.
Yeah, really.
Okay, well, you said you didn't feel that that Mike Tyson had any right to be in the WWE Hall of Fame?
No, I don't feel like he did. What did he do?
He was actually... It had to do with one of my favorite WrestleManias, WrestleMania 14, in which he really helped hype it because he had been brought on by Vince McMahon, and Vince McMahon told him, oh, here he is, the baddest man on the planet, Iron Mike Tyson. So he appears on an episode of Raw, and Steve Austin comes in and starts fucking with him, and it nearly led to an all-out brawl. You remember the Lesnar-Cena brawl in the ring.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a lot of what it was like on Monday Night Raw that night. It really went out of hand very quickly. And it also led to... It was at the time, it was Mike Tyson... No, it was Stone Cold Steve Austin was the number one contender for the WWE title against Shawn Michaels.
Who won that?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Really?
Yeah. All of D-Generation X, it was Triple H, China, and of course Shawn, came out to the ring with Mike Tyson as the special guest ring enforcer. So basically, if one guy got out of the ring for any reason, he was to throw him right back in.
So it was like a lumberjack match.
Yeah, pretty much, and he was the only lumberjack. Well, the whole thing was that D-Generation X had him in their pocket.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the match, when basically the ring enforcer does keep people in the ring, but in the absence of the damn referee, he can also step in and become the referee.
Right.
Which Shawn Michaels super kicked a referee by accident, knocking him out, or something happened where the referee had been taken out. He tried to kick... Steve stopped him, spun him around, put the Stone Cold Stunner on him, covered him. There's no one to count, but Mike Tyson comes in and counts 1, 2, 3, and declares Stone Cold the winner.
And that's why he's in the Hall of Fame?
It gets better. Stone Cold gets up, gives him a t-shirt, gives him a beer. You know, they do the celebration and shit. And, you know, then Shawn comes too. He's looking around. He's like, the hell just happened? And, he's looking at Mike Tyson, he's poking his finger in his chest like, you were supposed to stop this from happening. What the hell is your problem? And about that time, you know, Tyson looked down like, I just did my fucking job. And then Shawn slapped him. And like a nanosecond after Shawn Michaels' hand slaps Mike Tyson across the face, Mike Tyson comes in with this wicked right cross, plants it right on the fucking jaw of Shawn Michaels, and drops him like a fucking bag of bricks.
Wow.
It was awesome. So now he's laying there knocked out, you know, and of course Stone Cold Steve Austin's leaving with the fucking WWE title. And Mike Tyson has come back to the WWE. He's entertained thoughts of possibly wrestling because it does make more than boxing. But he never really did. He didn't, like, milk it for all it was worth. He just created one of the most memorable moments in WrestleMania history. So that's why they're inducting him as a celebrity, because typically they have celebrities at WrestleMania or involved with WrestleManias creating these very memorable moments, and then they induct them into the WWE Hall of Fame. You know, I think Randy Savage will probably be the next inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame. I don't know, but I'm hoping. I'm hoping. Now, if Randy Savage burned a bridge with the WWE, then there's no way he's going to go into the WWE Hall of Fame. There's just no way at all.
Did he do that?
I doubt it. I don't know.
See, this was all before my time as a fan. Very. I only became a fan, I want to say, 2.5 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm still a newbie to the world of wrestling. I mean, I was not there for the Attitude Era. I do know what it is. I've seen bits and pieces from the Attitude Era.
Oh, the Attitude Era was a great time in wrestling. Great time in wrestling. I mean, some of the segments that were done then, you could not get away with that now.
No.
And I think now they're trying to reinfuse it, and it's not working. You can't do that.
No, you can't without the greats.
Well, you have to create new greats, and you have to make them every bit as vulgar and detestable as they were back then. You have to make them every bit as funny, every bit as, like, lewd, every bit as, like, you know, smoking hot. And I think they've got some of that, but they don't have all the elements that it would take to, you know. And on top of that, the Attitude Era, those shows, the venues were very small. There wasn't a big load of money spent on production and presentation
and pyro.
It was more about content.
Well, like with TNA, they don't use pyro; they use lasers.
Oh, they use some pyros too.
They use a little bit of pyro.
No, they use quite a bit. They use quite a bit, but TNA focuses on the content rather than the, you know, the flash and the glam of it all.
Which is why we prefer it.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you. I do love TNA. I really wish Brock Lesnar would go TNA, and, you know, he could go play a heel all he wanted to, but I think TNA would probably be a lot more his speed.
I have argued that Impact Wrestling has better wrestlers. I mean, yes, some of them are post-WWE wrestlers like Jeff Hardy and mm-hmm. Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
But their talent level, of Impact
the way
Wrestling,
they work is on a completely different level than what the WWE has.
And they don't
has.
Have stupid yeah. storylines, even though people will try and argue this way on Twitter and say they do. The one storyline I didn't like was when they involved Kurt Angle's kids.
Devon's kids.
And Devon's kids.
Where the fuck are they? Where's the Pope, a.k.a. Elijah Burke? Where the fuck is he?
I have no idea. He hasn't been around. Pope
exactly.
D'Angelo De Niro.
A.k.a. real name, Elijah Burke, who actually wrestled with the WWE for quite a while.
Or ECW.
Yep. And we've got
Are we out of time?
Yeah, we are out of time. We pretty much filled about 59 minutes worth of content here. I can't say that I'm unhappy about it, but there's our music signaling that we are out of time. I got to get out of here because I got to go to work. Oddly enough, I have not done this in a while, but it is inventory night, so we decided to do the podcast a little early instead of doing it at some point tomorrow. We'll be back, of course, next week. Next week, things should be leveling out. We should be on a lot more of a regular schedule. So we'll be back next week to talk a little more with you. In the meantime, that is Poor Impulse Control for this week. I am Damian Cross.
And I am Misty Miller.
And I'm saying, control yourselves. You're not stealing my fucking line this time. Better watch yourself or you're going to end up like a little Finkelstein shit.
You can't be.
No freaks. No.